This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, October 3rd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Newsom signs water supply bill. Farm labor contractors get more paperwork. And Bessent's tariff talk raises questions. California to set new water storage targets. Governor Gavin Newsom has signed SB 72 into law, mandating long-term water supply targets and modernizing the state's water planning net framework. Under a new law, the Department of Water Resources must incorporate enforceable targets that in the California Water Plan, starting with the 2028 update. As an interim goal, the state must secure an additional 9 million acre-feet of water by 2040 through strategies like conservation, stormwater capture, desalination, recycling, and expanded storage. SB 72 requires the plan to address all beneficial uses, urban, agricultural, tribal, and environmental, while ensuring safe drinking water for all. In his signing message, Newsom called SB 72 a critical step toward building resilience and reliability into California's water infrastructure in the face of climate change. Irrigation districts and other water interests have hailed the legislation as transformative, asserting that it replaces ad hoc policymaking with coordinated, measurable strategies to meet future demand and climate pressures. Yet critics have cautioned that meeting the targets will require substantial investment, regulatory alignment, and sustained political will. New rules are coming for farm labor recruiters. Newsom also signed a measure aimed at tightening oversight of foreign labor contractors and recruiters. AB 1362, offered by Assemblymember Ash Calera of San Jose, requires contractors who recruit workers abroad to register with the state, disclose fees, and meet labor law standards. In a press conference yesterday, Calera stressed that farm workers are essential to our workforce, essential to our economy, and yet all too often, especially right now under the current federal administration, treated as if they must hide in the shadows. Farm groups opposed the bill, warning it would add another layer of state regulation to an already complex federal system, and it could limit access to a vital workforce during peak harvest seasons. Also signed, farms can now host up to 9 low-impact sites for tents, yurts, or RVs under a bill signed into law this week. Under AB 518, dubbed the Low Impact Camping Areas Act, the sites must be on parcels of at least 2 acres and only in counties that opt into the program. Ag groups and other supporters touted the measure as a way to expand outdoor access and boost rural income. Newsom rejected AB 524, a bill to improve land access and tenure for tribes and socially disadvantaged and beginning farmers and ranchers. While the proposal would have tapped into climate bond dollars for funding, the governor worried about ongoing expenses and cited the state's tight budget constraints. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Bessent's tariff assistant comments met with confusion. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is teasing that the administration will announce tariff assistance to farmers as soon as next week, but both the messenger and the message raising questions. How are you rolling out something on Tuesday if the government is still shut down? A soybean industry source granted anonymity to speak frankly about the announcement, speaking to AgriPulse.
Multiple legal analysts have said there's no mechanism for the administration to channel tariff money to farmers without congressional action. The USDA fund President Trump used in his first term was the Commodity Credit Corporation. It's still severely depleted. With the shutdown, we can't get any details, the source said. We talked to our friends on the Hill, and they're trying to get information, but the usual sources are furloughed. The Wall Street Journal reported yesterday that the administration is weighing between $10 and $14 billion in assistance, but that could fall short of anticipated export losses. FY 2025 exports to China were more than $8 billion lower than the previous year, and USDA anticipates FY 2026 exports to fall $15 billion below 2024 levels. The soybean industry source also questioned why it was Bessent who announced the assistance. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins was on Fox Business yesterday morning, but didn't mention it. However, Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota tells AgriPulse on this week's Newsmakers that helping farmers would strengthen the administration's negotiating position with China. He said, quote, it sends a very clear message to the Chinese that we're going to keep our farmers in the game, he said. Van Orden pushes temporary ag labor legislation. Representative Derek Van Orden joined dairy farmers at Global Dairy Expo yesterday to push for legislation to address dairy operation workforce shortages. At a press conference in Madison, a Wisconsin Republican touted a bill he introduced in July that lets, quote, covered aliens work in the U.S. if they go back to their home countries for 30 days. Both the worker and their employer would then pay a fine. An ICE raid in Manitowoc County, Wisconsin last week arrested 21 dairy workers and said American Business Immigration Coalition Director of Legislative Affairs, James O'Neill. Van Orden said at the expo yesterday that one person who is, quote, an incredibly strong supporter of the dairy industry is Trump administration border czar Tom Holman. He said he was raised on a dairy farm, so keep that in mind. Administration may not have authority to conduct RIFs, officials say. Senior administration officials say it may not be legal for federal agencies to conduct RIFs during a shutdown, the Washington Post reporting this yesterday. The official cited some of the same roadblocks to RIFs included in a lawsuit brought by federal employee unions, the newspaper said. And those include the Anti-Deficiency Act, which prohibits the government from spending money not appropriated by Congress, the American Federation of Government Employees and American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees say they work to administer RIFs is not an exception to the Anti-Deficiency Act. Administration officials, including President Trump and Office of Management and Budget Director Russell Vought, have signaled the agency's plan to lay off federal workers during the shutdown. Here's today's final word. We don't need more programs. We need to build more homes and remove friction from the labor market. It's time to prioritize the fundamentals. That's Nairi Kotavaran, research manager at the consulting firm Beacon Economics, which released a report yesterday indicating California's economy may be straining under layers of policy and regulation, particularly for the housing and the energy sectors. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, October 3rd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.